Now, it's our privilege, and really, it's our priority to do this. We're going to open God's Word together, and I encourage you to open a Bible to Psalm 121. I know the words will be on the screen, but we're really going to make our way through the Psalm this morning. So if you just have a Bible open in front of you during this time as well, that would be wonderful. But Psalm 121, we're in a series here at Heritage called Summer in the Psalms. This is our eighth summer doing this. And there's a lot of reasons why this is a great series to do in the summer, because every summer has its song list, and this is a great song list. We're also doing this because of something that Paul says back in Ephesians 5, verse 19. He's talking about how can we equip each other? How can we challenge each other? How can we encourage each other in the walk of following Jesus? And that's important. He says one of the ways we do this is that we speak psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which I think are all just three categorical names for the same thing, for God's word, speak the Psalms to one another. And for centuries, that truth has formed the life and faith of God's people. And we're doing that. We're doing that this summer. So we're going to look this morning at Psalm 121. God places before us a very important question. He also helps us find the answer to it. Now, the question I want you to think about as you listen to the passage, it's a very childlike question. But it's a deeply spiritual one, and it's one that we have to answer or know the answer to. So the psalmist is going to ask a very important question, and it's really, how do we get from here to him? How do we get from where we are today to where we will be in Christ ultimately? And we find the answer here in Psalm 121. Let's pause, ask the Spirit to be present, and then we'll open God's Word together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we'll be reminded, we need your help. So we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, your help will come and meet us in this place. To whisper words of grace and peace and life to us as we navigate this world. Speak to us again clearly. Quiet our hearts so that we might know that this is your will for us as it's found in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Invite you to stand and follow along or hear on the words of the screen as well as we consider Psalm 121 this morning, a psalm, one of the psalms of ascent. In other words, it's a journeying kind of psalm. Listen to God's word. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is God's word for us. You may be seated once again. When I was a kid, and my parents and take the family on a trip, we did what I trust many families did, and that is you would sing songs to pass the time. Now, little window, I think I've mentioned this before, into my family's history. We love to sing Smurf songs. Yeah, I know. Let me just say that this was popular stuff when I was a kid. You see, there was this Dutch composer. My parents both emigrated from the Netherlands. This Dutch composer and songwriter, his name was Peter Kartner. And he would sing under the alias of Father Abraham, which is just a wonderful name if you think about it. But he was a big hit in those days. I mean, this was good stuff. And so we would sing Smurf songs, for example. I don't remember the words like I used to. I tried to teach a song to my nephew and niece in Toronto a couple years ago. But one of the songs is called You're a Pink Toothbrush. Look it up. And one of my favorites, though, please understand, it wasn't really what the title says, was called Smurfing Beer. Smurfing beer. It tastes like beer, but it's not beer. It's a song. It's just a wonderful, delightful song. Anyways, what we would do, and there's a window in the Simon this morning. What we do is we travel, and most families do this, right? You would sing songs in order to pass the time. Now, thankfully, we weren't limited to Smurf songs. There were such classics as There's a Hole at the Bottom of the Sea, right? Or Old MacDonald. Come on, you've sung these songs, right? Or the ever-popular and annoying, and there's a theme here, but 99 bottles of beer on the wall, right? As we traveled, this is what you did, right? And I mean, maybe part of it was this was before the day when we had gadgets and devices in our hands to pass the time. You had to do something. And so we'd hit the road, and eventually a while, I'm pretty sure now that I'm a parent, my parents sort of sensed, oh man, it's time to put the Smurf tape in. And off we would go. Well, I bring it all in a way because this is not new. And it's certainly not new to the life of God's people. So we're going to look this morning at Psalm 121. And as God's people would make their way through the hills of Judea on their way to Jerusalem, they would sing songs. They would sing in particular what these are psalms of ascent, Psalms 120 through 134. Again, psalms that were traditionally sung by God's people as they made their way yearly, annually, to Jerusalem. Now, they weren't on a vacation, right? This was a spiritual pilgrimage. They didn't travel major highways and byways of life. They would take the narrow trails and dangerous paths that connected their little village to the big city. But as they made their way to Jerusalem, God said, I want you to sing some songs. I want you to sing these songs. And that's how I want us to understand not only all of them, but in particular this morning, Psalm 121, as part of the Psalms of Ascent. These are God's invitation. He says to his people, I want you to, as you face the highways and byways, the paths and the dangerous ways of life, and we're going to look at that this morning. I want you to sing. And here's a song for the journey. And as you make the journey, in this one particularly, the psalmist asks a vital question, a very spiritual question. We're going to look at the answer, which if you have your Bible open, you'll see it's pretty clear. And then finally, and most dramatically, especially as we think practically about faith today, and you know, we do life, and how do we live a life for Jesus? We're going to see how the psalmist invites us to see how the question and answer impact all of the journey. So let's consider these this morning. Let's begin with the question. I said in the intro, it's really a childlike question, but it's a deeply spiritual question. Where does my help come from? It's an interesting question. It's an important question. It's interesting in part because our need for help is presumed. Now, I know from experience, and I know you see it, and we see it around us in the world all the time, but trying to make the journey of life, let alone the journey of faith, and those two are not the same, but trying to do any of that apart from help just doesn't work very well. Sometimes we fall so flat on our faces. See, our problem really is this, and this gets back to the child in me, right, and all of us really, is that there lives in us the voice of a three-year-old, and that three-year-old demands to do it by myself. And we try, and we even trick ourselves into thinking we're successful and believe it, but we're really actually quite foolish all around. So that gets back to this question. It's a very important question. But it's an interesting one. It's interesting because it admits, and so this is like, this is the admission that we need to make this morning. Oh God, I need help. Father, I need help. And think about anything going on in life, whether it's a health concern or a financial one, maybe it's a relational one, or maybe it's just your heart breaking for the needs of the world around you, or it's ultimately the biggest question, which is my heart is so broken. God, I need help. And try as we might, we can't make the journey apart from help. And the truth is, apart from God's help, we're not going to get anywhere. So it's an interesting question, but it's also a very important question because where we turn for help, and I at one point in this message I prepared, I had this long list of all the things that we go to. I took most of it out because this sermon was getting a little long. But I mean, look at all the things that we go to as we say, you know, if I just had A or B or C, that's the help I need in order to succeed. And, and to a degree, that works. But spiritually speaking, we call them very particularly, we call them idols. And we can't get what we need from them. So this is why it's an important question. It's childlike, but important. The source of our help makes a big difference. And as God's people made their way to Jerusalem to pick up this journeying theme, right? They looked at the hills through which they would have to climb on their trek to Jerusalem. And they asked the question that you and I have to ask the question, which is, hey, where's the help going to come from? How am I going to get from here to there? And spiritually speaking, how do I, as a sinner who is who sins all the time, and Paul makes very clear, we all fall short of the glory of God, how am I going to get into the presence of God? Well, I'm going to need some help. Where is it? What is my hope? Where is my security? All of that kind of stuff. So this is the question. And I'll just leave the question, and I trust the Holy Spirit will just do some work on us this morning because we need to ask it. Where is my hope? Where is my help? So let's look at the answer, which is so monumental. Where does our help come from? The psalmist doesn't mince any words. He said, man, my help, your help, our help, it comes from God. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In this world of so many options, the psalmist rightly says to the people who are journeying their way to Jerusalem, in which you might think, oh man, I can find my help all over the place. No, he says, I want to pinpoint it for you very specifically. There's only one who is reliable, one who is sure. And in the same way, because this is our song, in the same way God's people would sing the song as they made the journey, this is something which is, oh, I love the opportunity to preach on this, of course, but it's very personal. We have to preach this to ourselves every day. Not only the question, man, where's the help I'm going to come, I need, but the answer, and that is it's going to come from God. And I need to preach that to myself every day as a husband and a father, as a pastor, as a citizen of this kingdom. My help, our security, my hope is from Him. Nowhere else. Because the source matters. Where everything else falls short. And I don't say that flippantly, because history proves it over and over. For all that great men and women have tried to use as their source of help, in the end, find it falters and fades. In all of this world in which we see it time and time again, we say this, the source of our help matters. Where everything else falls short, one does not. And it's part of the spiritual vocabulary that we use as we go through life and we think about things, and as we're making this journey of faith, we use this very important language because, and I'll say just by conjecture, we find it within community best. I know the psalmist is very personal in the language here. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. But it's a very communal language. This is a spiritual vocabulary that we have to embrace. I've said this before, but faith, though personal, isn't private. So God doesn't set us apart in Christ to say, hey, there you go, you're on your own, make your way, trust in me. He says, no, I'm going to place you within a we of this journey. I'm going to place you amongst others who are making the journey. And that fits with the spiritual pilgrimage language of Psalm 121 so well. I mean, God's people would travel together. They knew they weren't the only ones going to Jerusalem. And so when they looked at the hills, and where does my help come from? And they would hear this fellow people around them, which is one reason why I love singing so much. But if you would just listen, and you hear the voices of others saying the same thing. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. My help. Man, we're on the same team in this thing. It's wonderful. And that's the vocabulary that we've got to use as we think about this journey. We are saved by grace, set apart through Jesus Christ. The wonders of the gospel which invite us to the table again this morning. But we also understand that it's something that's in community. My help is from God, and so is yours. My help is from the Lord, and so is yours, and yours, and yours. And all of us together is the answer that we need to have. We walk by faith in community as fellow pilgrims. And so what we say together, what we sing together, man, that's just, it just makes it makes a difference, because we recognize that my help, our help, comes from the one who proves and will forever prove. He does not fail us. So what's the question? I don't know if you've been asking the question lately, but it's an important one. Where'd your help come from? And what's the answer? Well, it comes from the Lord. And now let's look at the rest of our psalm this morning. So what difference does that make? What kind of help can we expect from God? Very practical here. The constant refrain, if you see in the Bible and you look in the rest of verses 3 to 8, five times in this passage, in these short verses, it talks about God watching us, God watching over us. But what does that look like? What does that amount to? Well, there's three fundamental truths to consider this morning. We're going to look at them. First one is that means that we will not slip. Our foot will not slip. It also means that he is our shade. And finally, that means that we are secure. So we will not slip. He is our shade, and we are secure. And let's take these in turn. First, the psalmist says, he will not let your foot slip. He will not let your foot slip. Now, he's not just talking about like the physical slipping. Can we move ahead a screen, please? Yeah. He will not let your foot slip. We're not just talking about physically slipping. I don't know about you, but I mean, just even this morning, I almost tumbled down the stairs as I missed that last step. I mean, God's not saying, hey, that'll never happen to you, right? He's saying spiritually, the path that's going to lead you in Jesus to the Father, he'll never let your foot slip. He will not. God's promise to you again this day, and think about the multiple things of life that want to impede the journey. He promises because he watches over you, and if your help is in him, he says, I will not let your foot slip from the path that brings you to me. I will not let your foot slip. This is big stuff. Most of us think about our daily things in life and go, man, that's the mountain. And I'm sure I can climb that mountain. And God says, okay, but I'll get you there. I will not let your foot slip. And the reason the psalmist goes on to say this is because we're under constant observation, right? The psalmist says, here's what you can be sure of as you're walking, whether in the dark valley or in the top of the mountain, your God's eyes are on you. Your Father doesn't stop watching you. He doesn't sleep at the wheel, you might say. It's one reason why I love the language of Lord's Day 1, Heidelberg Catechism. We profess in the opening paragraph, my only comfort is that I belong body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The third paragraph is that because I belong to him, Christ to the Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. But it's the middle paragraph in which we profess these words. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. This is riffing in many ways on Psalm 121. What does it mean that God watches? What does that amount to? It means that not even a hair. Now, some of us have been giving up more hair than others on the old top part. I get that. But he counts all of them. Not even a single hair. He watches. What does that amount to? It's a wonderful picture of Psalm 121 in which he says, I will not let your foot slip, says the Father. I will lead you to myself. And Christ is the guarantee. So there's the first. Think about that. What would it look like to follow Jesus in this way? To say, man, God, I know you're going to lead me to yourself. What would it look like to trust him in the face of a diagnosis, to trust him in the face of a disaster? What will it look like for you this week as you go back to work and life and you feel some of the drudgery of it and say, God, I trust, and even here, you're my help, and you are leading my feet to you. Let's look at the second one this morning. It means not only a no slippage issue. The psalmist says that means God is also your shade or your shield. Now think about God's people. They're making their way to Jerusalem. I know a few of you who've been to Israel. Others you can just imagine or see pictures about it. It's a dry and arid space, but you need to know that the path that they would take through places leading to Jerusalem, sometimes there were dangerous places. There would be the dangerous animals lurking there. There could be thieves and robbers waiting to pounce on them. People just knew it wasn't an easy journey. And God says in Psalm 121, he says, my help means that no matter what threat you face, by day or by night, none of that will keep you from your destination. None of it. Neither the heat of sun or the cold of night, not cancer, not a stroke, not depression, not anxiety. Or to take Paul at his very word in Romans 8, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What does it mean? And what will it look like now as you think about this week to say, God is my shade and my shield? What will it look like for us to have that kind of hope again this week? How might it impact us in our boldness for Jesus, to know he is the one who keeps. He is the shade and shield, the shade and the shield. I don't know about you exactly, right, but I know for my own journey, I ought to be more bold. I should be more confident. To paraphrase, or not even paraphrase, a children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Here is the practical help of our God and the impact. Not only does it mean my foot will not slip, but God is my shade and my shield. And let's look at the third one now, which is the last section of Psalm 121, in which there's a sense of security as well. Our security is sure, says the psalmist, that he will keep you from all harm, now and forevermore, our coming and our going, says the psalmist. I have to admit, this one isn't always easy to see. All of us bear scars from this journey with Christ. Some of them are maybe a harsh word spoken. Some of it are trials that have left us weary and worn out. And so when the psalmist says, the Lord will keep you from all harm, we want to take out our checkbook and say, yes, but God. And I'm in no way going to diminish any of that this morning, but I will say in the language of the Hebrew, right, the language of the psalmist, it's not so much, again, that God keeps us from them, but it's a sense of in them. He will keep us in, that no harm in this world can separate us, to go back to what Paul is saying in Romans 8. In all of our coming and going, both now and forevermore, nothing, he says, his sovereign care becomes our assurance. And so Paul, when he says in Philippians 1, he says, I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's really Psalm 121, this third paragraph. My security because of God's help. We sang this earlier in that wonderful hymn, When Peace Like a River, but though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. So what are we talking about here? I mean, the sense in which God is going to keep me, right? Let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Therefore, it is well. It's well when there's not enough finances in the bank, and when there's too many. It's well when my heart is aching because of a lost relationship. It's well when we know those we love who are struggling with infertility. It's well when And I get emotional when I think about it. It's well when the floodwaters rage. It's still well. Because the help of our God means that he keeps us. And no harm is so great to separate us from him. We're going to look at this more closely in the coming weeks with some of the other psalms we're going to look at as well. But here's the message of Psalm 121 coming to you and me this morning. It's got a question. Where's your help coming from? And as God's people would make their way to the place where God dwelled among them, he gave them a song to say, here's the answer. It's going to come from me, says the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Sing it. Sing that song. Because it's our song too, you know. Delivered from bondage to sin through Christ's blood, we are on a journey. And though we travel the same ground everybody in the world walks on, there's still something uniquely different about our journey. And that's because, like in Hebrews 12, it says we fix our eyes on Jesus, our help. And for those who trust in Christ, and we're going to come to the table again this morning, and like you, I need to be refreshed by this table and by what it represents and what it points to. God's promise to all who put their trust in Jesus, and let's do that again this morning as we think about the question and the answer and the implications. Because the implications are just as true for you today. God says through Jesus, your foot will not slip. He will bring you to himself. He will be your shade and your shield, not from the troubles, but in them, so that they can't separate you from him, and he will be your security through all of life's journey, from today until the very end. Sing the song. Just imagine. Well, don't imagine this. Make it real. What was it going to look like for you this week to sing the song in your office, in the quiet moments of your day? As you're reading the news, and probably like me, there's tears in your eyes as you think about the little children this past few days who were swept away by raging floods. Or the troubles that we see in our world today. But here's the blessed assurance of the Christian life. My help comes from one who does not change. And I can see it. He proves it. It's the rock-solid foundation of Christ. He is there's a song in which we sing this phrase, he is the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. No other is so loving, so good, so kind. And that's the truth that brings us to the table again this morning. People of God, we're going to be reminded in a few moments when we eat this bread and drink this cup, here is help for the journey. This is the path forward. Because if we have Christ, we have hope. Doesn't mean you're going to sing the song from the top of your lungs. Please don't hear that. Sometimes that song can barely be heard above a whisper. But this is the song we sing. The hope of all who seek him. The help of all who find. No other is so loving, so good, so kind. May that be the song we sing. Because God is our help. Let's pray together. God in heaven, as you bring your word to us, we asked at the beginning of this that through your Spirit you would lay it deeply in our hearts. And now, O God, make that more than a prayer. Make it a truth that it permeates our hearts as we look to another week ahead. That in this world of trouble, we have one who is our firm foundation. Speak that truth again lovingly and tenderly to our hearts that you won't let our foot slip, that you are our shield, that you are our security. Help us to hold on to this truth because of Christ, whose very body and blood we come to nourish our faith on again this morning as we walk this journey of faith, fixing our eyes on Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.